Now, let's talk about the National Health Insurance. Why is the IRR raising concerns about the Department of Health and, you know, the implementation of the NHI?
Well, in a nutshell, there are just so many unresolved problems with it. The promise is very important, as you've just explained to the listeners, that that promise has to be fulfilled. We have to have implementation. But the costs are still unknown to the Department of Health. The only estimate that they've given is still comes from 2010, so it's highly unrealistic. If one looks at more realistic figures, it's likely to in its very first year of operation to cost 665 billion rand, which is 13% of GDP, and which is an enormous sum of money for an economy that's already greatly struggling to manage. We don't know how it's going to be financed. We have a very small pool of taxpayers who will somehow have to manage this burden. There's no realistic plan to ramp up the supply of health services to help meet the increased demand. And there's no realistic idea of how this enormous administrative burden is going to be met. What the government in essence is talking about is a single state-run medical aid plan that will cover 56 million South Africans.
Mm.
Now, at the moment, the biggest medical scheme that we have the Discovery one, which just short of 3 million people. We're talking about something vastly bigger than Discovery and run by the state. And we know that where the state has a monopoly over supply, for example, over electricity, we don't have the best service. We have high and rising costs. We've had lots of supply interruptions. And I think there are very few South Africans that now have great confidence in the government's capacity to get the electricity supply right. We're now going to destroy the part of our healthcare system that works well, which is the private one, and we're going to entrust everything to the government to get right in a huge state-run medical aid plan, which will have to pay every doctor, every nurse, every specialist, every clinic that provides a service. That will have to pay for every medicine, bandage, other consumable medical device that's needed in the public health, in the now only state-run system. And if suppliers are not paid in time, which is a problem that's already happening in many parts of the country, they stop supplying. If the doctors are not paid in time, they may decide to emigrate. So there's a real risk that what we have already will diminish rather than that more health services will be extended to more people.
Now, talking about that and the risk that's involved with this, why is there a delay in terms of the implementation from the health department side?
Because all of these important issues have to be resolved. I mean, the government has been talking about NHI since the first green paper came out in 2011. And the figure that they gave then for funding it was 256 billion, which in itself was a stretch from what the health budget is now. They've never updated that figure, but of course, after the years that have passed, healthcare expenses have gone up. They go up by 9% a year in both the public and the private healthcare in average. So we're looking at least 65 billion in the sort of money that will apply in 2025 to kickstart this. At 13% of GDP, that's going to be extraordinarily difficult to finance. You also have to think what will happen to the increase in costs over time. And within 15 years, it would be costing 2 trillion, or 30% of what we project GDP would be at that point. Now, we cannot afford that. We've just had unfortunately, we've been put into junk status again by one of the other rating agencies, Standard & Poor's. And that's a comment on the fact that our public finances are in such disarray. Very soon, we will have our public debt to GDP at 60%, which is a sort of danger signal. And if you take into account the contingent liabilities, the SOEs, it will be 80%. We have, as I said, a very small tax base. There are about 560,000 people who pay 65% of personal income tax. So that's a group that is already heavily burdened with tax. And it's hard to see how so much more money can be extracted out of a small pool. Whereas if we could rather grow the economy and have many more people in jobs and find ways of making private health care available to millions more people, mm-hmm. which we could do. In the government, that's the Council for Medical Schemes, in 2015, came with a proposal for a low-cost medical scheme that would have extended medical scheme coverage to 15 million new people.
Right.
But the Department of Health effectively vetoed it. They refused to allow it to be implemented. And that one gets the impression that this is in order to clear the way for the NHI, that if low-cost options were more easily available to more people, there would be less of a sense of despair in the country about the state of the health system. But that would be a much more practical option than trying to put everything in the hands of the state, which has not shown itself to be remarkably efficient in any sphere. And the government is also now, as part of the implementation process, pushing up the cost of medical schemes even more than they have already by their own regulation. They're going to remove, for example, the tax credit, which helps make medical scheme membership more affordable for more people. They're putting an end, they've already put an end, some of them, to the primary health insurance policies, which offer people who can't afford medical schemes access to GPs and to basic dentistry and optician services and medicine. And again, that all of that helps to relieve the pressure on the public system and to give people the benefits of our very good private system. If we take away those funding options, then people are left at the moment dependent on the state alone, with the hope that in time the NHI will not only come in but help solve their problems. But unfortunately, the reality is that the NHI, when it comes in, is unlikely to solve this problem, but rather to see the supply of all the goods and services that we need diminish, and the supply of doctors, the specialists, nurses, etc., also reduce.
Perfect. Dr. Anthea, you've raised some very valid points and it makes sense, and you've actually showed us the end game in terms of what this actually means. I feel that we just have to wait and watch what's going to happen. But thank you for chatting to us and, you know, helping us realize what the repercussions would be to provide a system like the, you know, the National Health Insurance. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
All right, that day, Dr. Anthea Jafari, Head of Policy Research and author of the Institute of Race Relations, talking to us about how the National Health Insurance, you know, will not be sustainable in terms of the concerns that are being raised towards the Department of Health about the financing and other nitty-gritty stuff. But very interesting, I must say, to look at how, you know, implementing a national health insurance is going to affect not just the industry, but also, you know, the care that's being afforded to the hospitals as well. All right, so we're going to take a quick ad break. When we come back, we've got our quiz. Stay tuned for that. And of course, after that, your chance to win, courtesy of Buco, Vasco, and Pizza Hut again. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.